Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Now, the number of people who've been 12 months or more on a hospital waiting list has increased 100-fold in the last decade, resulting in a situation that the Irish Hospital Consultants Association is calling an absolute crisis. Consultants fear that the next National Treatment Purchase Fund figures to be published this month could show increases across all waiting lists that would take Ireland's health system over the cliff edge and tumbling into another healthcare crisis. For more, I'm joined by Professor Rob Landers, who's Vice President of the IHCA, the Irish Hospital Consultants Association. Professor Landers, you're very welcome to Drive Time, and thank you very much indeed for joining us. The top line figures are startling by any measure, even if we do know that waiting lists are an ongoing problem here. As many as 900,000 people on some form of waiting list by the end of the month. That's what you're anticipating, is it?
Oh, absolutely, Cormac. Yes, we expect there to be at least 900,000 people on some form of waiting list by the end of the month. And that figure is careering towards 1 million people. Almost 1 in 5 of the population of this country will be on some form of HSE waiting list very soon, we would anticipate.
And are you saying definitively that these increased numbers cannot be blamed on the pandemic or the cyber attack?
Yes, we are. These figures have been exacerbated by the COVID-19 pandemic and by the cyber attack. But we've been in a steady state of decline with worsening figures for the last decade. This is not something new. The COVID-19 pandemic and the cyber attack, yes, have unmasked, if you like, and brought people's attention to the massive deficits in our healthcare systems. But they're not the root cause of this problem. The root cause of this problem is basically a lack of hospital capacity and a lack of hospital consultants.
But I was speaking with Liam Woods of the HSE last week, I think, on this programme, and I think it was the same day that you were on the news at One, and you were making a number of allegations like you're making right now. And Liam Woods was telling us that before the pandemic, that they were making significant investment and they were making significant inroads into hospital waiting lists. But the pandemic came and obviously halted any progress, made the situation worse. And on top of that, then, the cyber attack caused havoc. And it's hard not to believe that.
Yes, Cormac, there are several points there. Firstly, I'm not making any allegations. I'm merely stating the facts, and these are the HSE's own figures. The cyber attack, yes, exacerbated the situation. It caused chaos in the acute hospital system. We're over the cyber attack now, or certainly over 90% of it. But the underlying facts remain. I mean, we have the lowest number of hospital consultants in the EU. We have the lowest number of acute hospital beds per head of population in the EU. You can't gloss over those figures, and you can't hide behind COVID and behind the cyber attack as a reason not to look hard at those figures and put corrective measures in place.
But Arne, isn't the plan of action there? We have Sláintecare. Surely if the investment is continued and there is significant investment promised for the health system in the coming years on a multi-annual basis, isn't that right, Rob? If that is enacted and implemented, surely we will make progress here.
Absolutely, we will make progress, but that's a big if it's enacted and implemented. And I think when you pushed Mr. Woods last week in that interview, the HSE don't actually have a very firm and coherent plan in this regard.
No, in fairness, he mentioned Sláintecare a number of times.
It's easy to mention Sláintecare, but Sláintecare is a very, very detailed programme. And it doesn't even mention, I think, in Sláintecare, the number of acute hospital beds that we need. So the IHCA, for example, have written a submission to the National Development Plan due to be published later this year, where we're looking for 6,000 extra acute hospital beds. That's what we think is needed in the system to bring us on a par with the rest of Europe and put us in a position so that nobody out there, no Irish patient, should have to wait the lengthy times they're currently waiting.
But would you accept, Rob, that they can't be magicked up overnight and they are making incremental, gradual progress? I mean, I think Liam Woods referenced a number of beds in Waterford, for example, in the acute hospital there.
Yes, of course those beds can't be magicked up overnight. There's no quick overnight solution here. There's no quick win. But we must address the underlying deficits. We have 1 in 5 of our consultant posts are vacant, about 700 positions not filled properly. We need at least another 1,600 consultants on top of that to bring us up to the EU average. And then we need 6,000 beds. So while there are little bits of improvements throughout the system, and yes, there have been some increase in the beds in Waterford, these are falling well short of what's needed to address the problem.
Why do we have so many vacant consultant positions in this country? I mean, it's hardly down to remuneration. Hospital consultants in this country are paid quite well, aren't they?
Yes, hospital consultants are paid quite well, but I think it goes much broader than just remuneration. So you're talking about working conditions. And essentially, we're not competitive here in terms of attracting consultants from abroad. Irish medical graduates have a very strong tradition of going abroad and getting trained in the best centres in the world and bringing that expertise back to the country to help the patients of this country. But now they're staying away. They're not coming back. Why are they not coming back? Because the working conditions are just so awful for consultants at the moment that they don't want to work in the Irish healthcare system. They don't want to be in a position where they're fighting day after day for resources, where they're looking for beds, they're looking for operating time. That's the reality of what's happening on the ground. And consultants will stay in properly funded and resourced health systems abroad.
And they won't stay in the Irish system. We'll have a brain drain of sorts, is the implication of what you're saying. So that's the reality for consultants and doctors by extension, and to nurses and so on, everybody who works in the health system. Can I ask you finally, before I let you go, Rob Landers, about the ramifications then of all that you say for patient outcomes? If this isn't rectified, and rectified quickly, what is the effect on patient outcomes in the system?
By definition, Irish patients are going to suffer because of these waiting lists. So people will wait longer for that hip operation, for that knee operation. They'll wait longer for that cataract operation. And while they're waiting for these operations, their general health is declining. So the man or woman in Ireland listening to this waiting for their cataract operation, they can't go out and exercise because they're going blind. So their general health suffers.
But you're talking about discomfort. Could it result in premature death in some cases?
It could, Cormac, yes. Because of all the elective care we provide, mixed in with that will be a small number of people with what we would call hidden cancers, people that don't know that their doctor's not particularly suspicious, but when we do the investigations and do the operations, we find bigger underlying problems.
Okay.
And those patients are waiting a long time, and unfortunately, by the time we get to them, they're going to be at a far more advanced stage than what they should be.
Professor Rob Landers, Vice President of the IHCA, thank you very much indeed for joining us on Drive Time this evening.